appreciate it. God bless all you folks. Take your Bible, if you would, please. You brought a Bible? You brought a Bible to a Bible conference? Amen. You should. That way you'll know whether or not I'm lying to you.
Yes.
Let God be true. Every man a liar. I got it in me.
Yes.
Amen. And I made children that are just like me, and they got it in them too. I found that out early. But you just take everything I say, measure it up against the whole counsel of God, see whether it's true or not. Proverbs chapter 24, turn there. And I want to try to mind the Lord and mind the clock at the same time. And God laid this on my heart when the pastor called me and asked me to come down. I started praying then about what to say. And I do preach sermons over and over and over again. And sometimes it's good. If you read Peter, Peter said, I'm going to put you in remembrance. He's bringing it back up again. And stir up your remembrance. Stir up your pure mind. Stir it up. And so I don't know that I'm going to say anything that you guys don't know, but it's good to just be reminded from the scripture of what's going on. In Proverbs chapter 24, Solomon said this in verse 30. And I want you to look at the words of the King James Bible. I want you to look at the words and examine the scriptures. Now, he said, I went by the vineyard. Can you think of any place in the Bible where a vineyard's talked about? What is it? Think about what a vineyard is. Think about how vineyards are used in the scriptures. Jesus said, I am the vine. Okay, so I want you to think about this and think about what's being said here. He said, I went by the vineyard of I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Now I want you to think about places in the Bible where you saw thorns. That's the beauty of the King James Bible, is that you have all these different languages of Hebrew and Greek and all that stuff, all melded down into one translation. There is a consistent flow from Genesis 1:1 in the beginning to the last amen of the book of Revelation. There is a consistent flow of one language and one thought all throughout the scriptures. It's one book. And yet it's divided and it has sections, but it is one book. It is the Word of God. And so I want you to think about thorns. I want you to think about Genesis chapter 3. I want you to think about thorns. I want you to think about what Christ had on his head. I want you to think about what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12. I want you to think of those things. Because when you study thorns in the Bible, you get an understanding of what that was that Jesus had on his head. Why it was on his head. Why he was wearing it when he went to the cross. Why he's not wearing it now.
Amen.
You'll understand those things. So he said, well, he was all overgrown with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof and the stone wall. I want you to think of what walls represent. I want you to think of a story where walls fell down. The stone wall thereof was broken down. I want you to think of what Ezekiel talked about. You've daubed it with untempered mortar. Saying, God has said, and God said, I didn't say that. How do we know what God said? It's in the book. He wrote it down. And I'm going to show you that. Then I saw and considered it well, and looked upon it, and received instruction. I'm going to talk to you today about don't sell your vineyard. Don't sell your vineyard. But I'm going to cover some doctrinal areas first. Because there is a lot of controversy over what I say and what I tell people I believe. I believe according to what the Bible says. If I could give you my testimony just very quickly. I grew up conservative. I grew up under several King James preachers. And had that in my mind. I read that tract that Jack Chick wrote called Sabotage. Y'all know that one? And he wrote that comic about that young man who went to Bible college. Got his mind all messed up because they told him the Bible wasn't right. Had mistakes in it. Messed his mind up, and then there was those guys trying to tell him, hey, you know, that's you know, this is what happens, this is, you know, how the devil works, and this things like that. And I read that, and I was in high school, and I thought, I don't know if that really happened. That happened to me. I went to 3 years. I went to two different Bible colleges, and when I come out, didn't even graduate. When I come out of that nonsense, my mind was full of their mistakes in all the translations. There is no translation that's right. The King James is not right. The NIV is not right. And what you need to do is you need to get about four or five translations out there in front of you. Have you heard that one before? My doctor told me that. And he said, I like to read all the translations and just kind of get an idea. Well, one of them is contradictory to the other. How do you reconcile that? Well, then, you know, they tell you, now you got to go into the Greek and the Hebrew, and you got to really understand all that stuff and all those original languages, because only the Bible is in the inspired original manuscripts. That's a lie. And I'm not, listen, you can be mad at me, join the club. I got a long line of people that don't like me anymore because I'm going to tell you what's in this book and I'm not backing down, but it's not my nature. See, I like to be real shy and quiet and don't rub any ruffle any feathers and make anybody mad. But I'm telling you, I've had my faith shaken. And I've had to have this book stop a bullet from going in my head.
Yes, sir.
And if this Bible's not right, I'm going back home. If you don't like what I said and you're mad at me, my plane travels faster than your car does back to Missouri, all right? So I think I'll beat you. But I'm going to deal with some areas of doctrine. And if your mind is already settled that this is the inspired Word of God, it is inerrant in everything that it says, and I'm not talking about the Textus Receptus either, I'm talking about this Bible right here. If you can stand up here and show me and prove to me that you can speak the language of the TR, knock yourself out. But you can't. And there are rules in the Bible for how we're supposed to preach, guys. There are rules in this book of how we're supposed to talk in the house of God. And I'm going to show them to you today. And so if you've already got it settled that this Bible is the Word of God, I want to stir up some things in your mind. We're just going to go one item after another. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to deal with the doctrine of the inspiration of God. In fact, let me show you this. We're going to deal with inspiration. We're going to deal with preservation. We're going to deal with translation. All three of those doctrines are in your King James Bible. You need no other source to know what to believe. When we have people come to our churches, we ask them, they come down to altars, do you believe the Bible? Yeah. We don't ask them if they believe Dr. So-and-so. We don't ask if they believe Charles Ryrie. We don't ask them if they believe Charles Stanley or Benny Hinn. We don't ask them if they believe this guy or that guy. We don't ask them if they believe John Calvin or Jacob Arminius. We don't ask them that stuff. We ask, do you believe the Word of God?
Yeah.
Do you believe the Word of God? Now I'm going to ask you these questions. Do you believe every word of God is pure? So let's deal with inspiration here for a minute, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. By the way, I like verses that have 3:16 in them. Amen?
Amen?
Great is the mystery of godliness. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. John 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture. How much?
All
Scripture. Genesis to Revelation. Watch this now. Was it given by inspiration of God? That's not what that says. Who read that in there? Who told you that lie that the Bible is only in the original autographs? Who told you that lie? When everything in your Bible is telling you that it is right now the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, number one, doctrine. And I'm going to tell you this, if you got your little doctrinal ideas and doctrinal fantasies and you didn't get them from the Word of God, you ain't got them and they're not right. I don't care who you studied under. I don't care how many preachers you sat under. I don't care what conferences you went to and what Bible college you went to. I don't care nothing about that stuff. You don't impress me. What impresses me is when you can quote Scripture. That's what impresses me. Give us some preachers behind the pulpits that'll preach the Word of God. And I'm not talking about, well, now let's read now one verse and let me just talk for about 30 minutes. I mean, preachers, give them 30, 40, 50. Give them massive doses of the Word of God. He sent His Word and healed them, the Bible says.
Yes.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. If your doctrine does not come from the inerrant, infallible, unaltered Word of God. You know what that phrase unaltered means? Now, right here in your King James, see that word given by inspiration of God? In the original Greek, here's what this really says. By the way, the Greek word is theopneustos. Believe it or not, I made a B+ in elementary Greek. I made a D- in the book of Revelation in Bible college. I'm not making that up. Almost flunked the class. Had an amillennial teacher. So, yeah, okay. That's true. Theopneustos, you know what that word literally means? God breathed. You know what the phrase inspiration of God means? God breathed. Remember this? Well, you know what that is? Inspiration. Well, preach, you know, I'm a Texas Receptus guy, and I believe that, but I don't believe them translations are inspired. Really? How does the people in your church get saved if the Holy Ghost does not breathe when the Word of God is being preached? How do people in your church get saved? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That means if you've got it, if you got an idea in your head, preacher, I appreciate you asking me that question last night. He said, Pastor, you know, see, you think all these thoughts. How do you know that you haven't gone too far? I said, I'm anchored. My faith is anchored right here. And before I start talking about it too much, I'm going to find two witnesses out of the Bible that say the same thing. And then, I'm not settled then, I'm going to go find a story in the Bible that'll show the doctrine. And they're all back. Did you know you can see the translation of God's people, what they call the rapture? It's in the story of the Ten Commandments. It's there. It is the neatest thing I've ever seen. Follow the tablets and you'll see it. All right? I ain't got time for that. But if I'm going to say something, I'm going to prove it with Scripture. Yes, sir. I'm going to prove it with Scripture. Nice. This is what Scripture says. Well, I don't interpret it that way. Who told you to interpret it?
Amen.
God told you to believe it.
Amen.
He'll interpret it. Reproof for correction. Have you ever been wrong?
Yes, sir.
Mike Hoggart has.
Yes, sir.
And still is. And still is. And every time I read something in the Scripture, I'm going, you know, boy, what I thought, I don't think that's right. It's correction for instruction in righteousness. But I want you to notice, is given. That is the inspiration of God. That's the inspiration of Scriptures. How did that work? Isaiah 51:16, I've put my words in thy mouth. Preacher, you stand behind this pulpit like Ezra did with a pulpit of wood. You know what he did? He opened the book in the sight of all the people. And they stood up and said, amen, amen. All he did was open it. Then the Bible says he started reading the Scriptures to them and read the whole thing to them. And then he had priests that gave the sense and the meaning of it. And I don't mind you teaching the Word of God, but if you're going to get up here and waste everybody's time with your stories and your anecdotes and quotations from everybody else and not give them Scripture, you are wasting time and you're hurting your church. You're hurting your church. You're starving your church to death. And I want to tell you something. I got a teaching back here called Where Dragons Live. And I'm going to show you that devil spirits, the devil is a dragon. Do you know the Bible will tell you what dragons, where dragons like to live and where they don't? They love to live in a place where the man is not present. And if you're getting up here preaching and you're not quoting Scripture and giving them Bible verses, giving them whole chapters and giving them homework to do and stuff like that, you know what's going on in their life? Every place where this is absent, the dragons start moving in.
Yes, sir.
This is what happened. I put my words in thy mouth. That's what he said in Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. But now we got two witnesses. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Two witnesses right there. Two witnesses shall every word be established. What is the doctrine? The doctrine is that God put his words in the prophet's mouth. And there's two places right there in the Bible that tells you that. Then it says in 2 Peter, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's three witnesses right there for you. Moses, writing under the inspiration of God. You know who he was? He was a holy man of God. David, writing under the inspiration of God. He was a holy man of God. Solomon, though he wasted his life with wine and women, do you know what God told David about Solomon? If he sin, I'll chastise him with the stripes of men, but my mercy will I not take from him. Solomon is in heaven right now. You know how I know? Because of what God promised David, number one. And number two, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Do you believe the Song of Solomon should be in your Bible?
Yes.
Solomon wrote it. Who gave him the words? The Holy Ghost did. So watch this. Now, this statement, we believe the Scriptures to be inspired in the Word of God in the original manuscripts. I believe that. When Isaiah wrote it down, it was the inspired Word of God. That is manifested in the Scriptures. Most church or ministry faith statements will have this in it. But they'll stop right there. See, it sounds spiritual.
Yes, sir.
But they're going to stop right there. Let's look at preservation. The words of the Lord were pure words. It's not what it says, is it, brother?
No, sir.
Are.
Yes.
Well, you don't understand, Pastor. And everybody's telling me there's a lot of things I don't understand. You don't understand, Pastor. That was written some 3,000 years ago. Well, I don't know. Seems like if God said it, he used the word are, and he knew that 3,000 years later, this dumb old Missouri boy would read it, and I would just say, you know what? I believe that.
Yes.
You know what the verse that comes right before the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 says? And the Lord spake all these words, saying. And God, I was reading that one day, and God stopped me and asked me, Mike, do you believe that what you're going to read after this, I said every one of these words? Yeah, I do. I believe that. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. You know what really gets me? These guys all over this world and all over this country telling, oh, God keeps saints, God keeps saints. Did he keep the Bible? Well, you don't understand. If he cannot keep his word, then he's a liar, and you're not saved.
Yes, sir.
Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Have you ever looked at the NIV in this verse? Thou shalt keep us, O Lord, forever. They have removed the doctrine of the preservation of Scriptures right out of the Bible. No wonder they don't believe it anymore. Preservation. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We looked last night. You can look at you can compare Isaiah 61 with Luke chapter 4. When Jesus stood up and he opened the book, there's that beautiful picture, Revelation 5. He's opening the book and he begins to read out of Isaiah, 66 chapters, 66 books in your Bible. Who made 66 books in the Bible? Did Tyndale do that? Did Martin Luther do that? No, God did that.
Amen.
Did the Catholic Church do it?
No.
They ain't got 66 in theirs. Amen. They got like 72 or something like that. But anyway, so Jesus reading the book and he cuts it off right halfway through the sentence back in Isaiah 61. He stops, he closes the book and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And it was. But that scripture wasn't done. Not even grammatically it wasn't done. He's coming back to do everything that he said. See, his word, God's word doesn't go out void, does it?
That's right, brother.
It doesn't go out void. Jesus is the word of God, and he sent him out here to do this thing the first time. But you know what the Bible says? God speaketh once, yea, twice. And Jesus is the spoken word of God that comes once, partially fulfills. He's coming again to perfectly fulfill. So this Bible is not totally perfectly fulfilled yet. It's waiting for the second coming of our Lord. Amen? So until that day, not one jot or tittle will be lost out of the words of God. That's preservation. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. In the original manuscripts, is that there? It's not there. Why do you believe that? Why do you put that on your church's faith statement and not fit and not even quote Scripture? Why do you do that? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I'm telling you that every time this Bible's read, the Holy Ghost is breathing his life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes.
Oh, bless God. Oh, we got full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! And not a Scripture was read. There is another spirit,
yes, sir,
that loves it when the Scriptures are not read.
Yes, sir.
So, here's their faith statements. We believe the Scriptures to be the inspired, inerrant Word of God in the original manuscripts, but... And they'll never put this down because they want to sound religious and they want to sound spiritual. You start asking them, do you believe God preserved His Word? Oh, yeah, in those original manuscripts. Somebody tell me where the original of Isaiah's writing is. Somebody tell me where it is. Where is it, Rock? Nobody's ever seen it. Doesn't exist. Where is it? I'm going to show you something neat. I'm going to I want to back up here just a second. I'm actually giving you the end of my message. I want to go back and give you the front part here. I tell you what, Gary pulled me down yesterday, Pastor, and he said, Mike, come down here and look at this. You've got all those earlier translations down there in that foyer. I'm going to tell you, God bless that. Because I'm going to talk about the vine. And he's got down there a page out of the Bishop's Bible, Tyndale's Bible, different things like that. That is a vine of the Word of God that has extended all the way down, ever since Job was the first one to start writing, "Oh, that my words were printed in a book," Job said. They were.
Amen.
Amen. I can't wait to see Job's face. Amen. Okay. All the way down from Job, all the way from the Ten Commandments and the Law, and Ezra the scribe, and John, who wrote the book of Revelation, there's been a pure vine of the Word of God extend all the way down to us today.
Amen.
And I want you to think, don't sell your vineyard, preachers.
Yes.
Look at this. That is a picture of one of the copies of the New Testament. It's worn out. See, now, whoever wrote this out, they did not go to Walmart and find manuscript that looked like this. They had nice, real, whatever it was, and they wrote all that down. What happened? Over time, it's like your Bible. It gets all worn out and frazzled and frayed, and pieces come off of it. And they say, "Oh, what an unfortunate thing here, because here's something written down here, and we don't know exactly what it was." I guarantee you, if it was written down and God wrote it, we know exactly what it is. See, this is the, by the way, this is the life of a Christian. Amen. And over time, our bodies just get weak and frown, and stuff starts falling off of it. Amen and amen. But the Word of God, let me teach you a little something here. We know this, that when those guys like Isaiah and David, when those guys were writing things down, they wrote on two different things, either papyrus or vellum. How many of you remember that from your Bible college days? Okay. Vellum is what? What is vellum? Animal skin, okay? So the skin off an animal, they tanned it and laid it all out, and they wrote on that, okay? What is papyrus? It's where we get the word paper from. There was this big reed, like a tall grass, and they would take that and they'd split it down, and then they weave it together, and they'd lay it out and let the sun dry it, and that was their paper. That was papyrus. Our version of it is we take wood pulp and flatten it all out and bleach it and everything, like smooth it out. Okay, and I'm going to show you how God always intended to preserve His Word, even when the papyrus and the vellum fell into disarray and shambles, and why, since we don't have any original papyrus or vellum, I'm going to show you from the Scriptures how God intended to preserve His Word past the manuscripts. It's right here in the Bible. Isaiah 40 verse 6. And the voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass." What did we say the vellum was? Flesh. It's the flesh of an animal. What did we say the grass was? What did we say the papyrus was? It's grass. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Yes,
and I want to tell you, Pat, I love you, but if all you've got is ancient manuscripts and tattered texts, then you're like the drunkards of Ephraim in Isaiah 28, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. If that's all you have, you don't have much. I'm just trying to encourage you and challenge you. You can believe that right now, every word of God is pure. So that's the doctrine of inspiration, the doctrine of translation, the doctrine of preservation. Now I'm going to get to the doctrine of translation. Can a translation from the original languages, can it be accurate or can it be inspired? Now, I was some kid from a Bible college tried to trip me up on this a few years ago. Are you saying, Pastor Hargood, you believe in double inspiration? Can somebody go to the place in the Bible where it either preaches for or against double inspiration? Can you show me that in the Bible anywhere? Do you know who made up the idea of double inspiration? Some man who did not like the King James Bible. I don't know where it comes from, because I never read it here. I do believe God speaks once, yea, twice, but I believe that God has, is, and always will inspire the words that are on this page. It's what I believe according to Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that's what I believe. And I have to believe that because that's what my faith is settled on. Yeah. Mike, you believe the Word of God? You want to be saved? Yeah. You believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible.
Yes, sir.
That's where my faith has found it. That's where my anchor is.
Amen.
You're not changing my mind. I'm here to change yours. That's what I'm here for. Okay? And I want you to know I'm up here shaking in my shoes. I'm scared of you guys. Thank God for airplanes. So, here's what I'm going to ask you. If you're going to come up to me and ask me, Pastor, do you believe the doctrine of such and such? What verse is that? If you can quote Scripture, I'm going to stop you right there and say, I believe that Scripture. Don't ask me if I fit into your group. I have been most of my life not fitting in. Most of my life. And I'm used to it. I wish I did fit in, but I don't. Don't ask me if I fit into your group. Ask me if I believe John 3:16. Ask me if I believe 1 Timothy 3:16. Ask me if I believe Genesis 1:1. Ask me if I believe. You give me a scripture and I'll tell you whether or not I believe it. And if it's in the King James, I believe it. Let's look at translation. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and what? Did God intend to speak to all the languages? Sure he did. Daniel 6, 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages. Did God intend to speak to all languages? Daniel 7, 13 and 14. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. By the way, let's count that all people, nations, and languages. How many fingers do I have up here? God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, there's another reason why I'm holding up three fingers here in a little bit, and you're going to see it here in a little bit. All right? So he said, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, and the Lord answered me, said, write the vision and make it how? Plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. 2 Corinthians 3:12, seeing that we have such hope, we use great what? Plainness of speech. And not as Moses. We use plainness of speech. Now, I'm going to ask you to start reading this in front of everybody. No, I'm going to tell you what you do. I'm going to go around. I make videos. I'm going to go around the whole world and tell everybody what your real secret is, preacher. You're telling everybody that the real Bible's in the Greek and Hebrew, and you want to get up there like I did right out of Bible college and pretend like I knew it. I was just looking at a commentary like all you other rascals did. I looked at a concordance, and I looked it up. I looked what Strong said about that word, and I found some definition that was way stretched out away from what the King James said. And I went up, and I stood up, and I gave that because I wanted people to think I was smart because I went to Bible college. And if they didn't get it from me, they wouldn't get it. I know how you think. I used to think that way. That's where I used to be. So if you're really as good at this Greek and Hebrew as you say you are, then stand up and start reading.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That is not what our dear beloved Paul said. It is not what God told Habakkuk. He said, you make it plain. so that he may run that readeth. Make it plain, preacher. Nothing plainer than the English Bible. He said, Isaiah 28:11, for his stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Watch this. With stammering lips, Moses had stammering lips, didn't he? Watch this. This is so neat. With stammering lips, Moses, the Old Testament, and with another tongue, Greek, will he speak to this people. They wouldn't speak in Hebrew. Matthew didn't write it down in Hebrew. John didn't write down Hebrew. Paul didn't write down Hebrew. Do you know Titus was a Greek? And he wrote a letter to Titus in what language? Not Hebrew. Greek. Why? Because Titus didn't know Hebrew. He was a Greek. He knew Greek. And that's what Paul wrote to him. Who gave him the words? The Holy Ghost. So with stammering lips and another tongue. We're going to see this verse here in just a little bit. So watch this. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Here's the coming now. Here's the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. Or the partial fulfillment. The sun was not turned to darkness and the moon was not turned to blood on the day of Pentecost. But it's coming.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because God said it is going to happen. You can't stop it. Amen. So on the day of Pentecost, now the Holy Ghost fell on them. And what were they doing? Speaking Hebrew? They were speaking other tongues. As they were reading from Joel Osteen? As they were... Now, I got 40 days of purpose here. As the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Who was translating the Word of God on the day of Pentecost? You tell me who was translating the Word of God. God was. You know what Joseph said to Pharaoh? Do not interpretations belong to God?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what the Scripture says? Mm-hmm. You know, do a study, and I have this, and I have time to do it. The word interpret or interpretation. Do your own study of that in the King James Bible alone. I had a lady that wrote Bible search software for our ministry. Go to purebiblesearch.com. It's a free download. Everything we do is for free. You download that software, and you can just type in a word or a phrase, and it'll tell you every place in the King James Bible that word or phrase, and even give you a count of how many times. It's really neat. But you know what the Bereans did? They searched what? And it took them days or weeks to search through the whole Old Testament. We can do it now in a matter of minutes. We have no excuse to be stupid.
Yes, sir.
We're just lazy.
Yes.
The vineyard of the slothful.
Yes, sir.
This church is your vineyard. You have a responsibility over this church. And if the devil's going to run all over this place, he'll do it because you were lazy.
Yes, sir.
I love you. I know you invited me and you're paying my bills and... But God helps me sometimes not be afraid of the faces of men, and I love you.
Amen.
And I almost lost all my vineyards one day. So I know what this is like.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you where I was. I appreciate what you said about this preacher. It's like this. That ain't me. I'm a roller coaster man. Whee! Here we go again! If I didn't have this Bible and the words of this book anchoring me,
yes,
this boat would be adrift.
Yes, sir.
So what happened on the day of Pentecost? Were they speaking an angelic language that nobody knew? Were they?
No, sir.
No. So let's examine Scripture. So how hear we every man in our own tongue? By the way, there's 17 here, by the way. I counted them. There's a reason why. So Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues. This is the doctrine of translation. Preachers, you can settle your church and you can help your people. Because, I mean, you guys go to the preacher conference with it. Hopefully everybody's all saying King James Bible. Your people are out there in social media and Facebook networks, things like that. They're hearing from other people. They're hearing from family members that are telling them, don't believe that King James only stuff. That's a cult.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Don't believe that garbage. Don't believe that nonsense. Won't you get with it like everybody else's church is? Why don't you do that? And they're getting pressure on them from family members to abandon the King James Bible is what they're doing. Give them scriptures so they can arm themselves. Give them a shield so they can fend the fiery darts that are being hurled at them.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, the faith of your people is going to be shaken if you don't give them a strong enough shield to fend it off. Because you can't be around them 24 hours a day. But Jesus said, I will never leave them nor forsake them.
Yes.
They do speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. God speaks other languages. That was supposed to be the whole message of the Gentile church age. Is that God's not speaking one language anymore. God's not just speaking Greek anymore. He's speaking every... Look at Revelation 7. Look who is around the throne of the Lamb. All nations, kindreds, peoples and tongues.
Yes, sir.
They're all there. Because God saw fit to have the Bible translated in their language for them.
Praise the Lord.
You know why? So the Roman Catholic priest wouldn't be able to lie to him and get away with it. Listen, you want to go hook up with Rome? With your doctrine of, I don't believe a translation's inspired. You want to go hook up with Rome? Be my guest. I'm not going. So watch this. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Watch what happens. See that word, other tongues? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here is the beauty of the King James Bible. Get this software and type in the phrase, other tongues. You know what God will do? He'll connect verses of Scripture for you. Because when Paul quoted Isaiah 28:11, look at what the Holy Ghost told him to say. In the law it is written with men of other tongues. More than just one. Tongues is plural. So let's compare Scripture. In the law it was written with another tongue. God said, Paul, tell them other tongues. So watch this. There are rules. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Do you believe in following the rules?
Yes, sir.
Believe in following the rules?
Yes, sir.
I didn't ask you if you liked it. Amen?
Yes,
my wife's rule was that I wake up at 7 this morning. I didn't like it. Okay? But I had to. 1 Corinthians 14. This is the rules on tongues. Let me tell you what I had. I told the preacher what I did. I'm glad he didn't throw me back out after I told him this. Back in my days when I was wandering in the dragon-infested wilderness of no Bible, I was hungry and I went searching. And I went to a Pentecostal church because I thought, well, maybe that's where it is. And I went in there and God knew my heart. And I said, God, if this is real and if it's right, I want it. But if not, please protect me because I don't want it if it's not right. I don't want to go to hell. I cannot begin to tell you how bad I don't want to go to hell.
Yes, sir.
And so I went in. I went down to the front. They had to deal. Heard a good message, but I went down there. And they come by and laid hands on me. And there was a guy, Johnny Bench, back there behind me going, he's going to catch me now. You see, I didn't know in the Bible that there's a difference between those who stand and those who fall. What happened when Nebuchadnezzar played all kinds of music and they were in the plain of Dura? What happened? There was a falling, wasn't there? Three stood. So they hit me on the forehead. I didn't know what that was then, but I do now. They hit me on the forehead and I didn't feel anything. I didn't fall backward. I didn't fake it. But I heard a woman behind me going, just like that. And the Holy Ghost is quoting Scripture. Mike, let your women be silent in the church. That's 1 Corinthians 14.
Yes, sir.
He's quoting scripture to me. And so, since it didn't work the first time, they come back around the second time. And I went. And I walked out of that church and I said, God, I promise you I'll never do this again. I'm not going to tempt you again. But God, thank you. But I was still in a dragon-infested wilderness until God said, Mike, this Bible is right. Has no mistakes in it whatsoever. So let me give you a rule. Rule number one, there are no mistakes in the Bible. King James. Rule number two, if you think you found one, refer back to rule number one. That's biblical, by the way. Read 1 Peter chapter 2 and you'll see it. This Bible, you know what this Bible is, preacher? It's the stone of stumbling and rock of offense. Even to them who are disobedient because they stumble at what? The word?
Yes, sir.
Being disobedient. So there are no mistakes in this Bible. So watch this. 1 Corinthians 14 gives us the rules for how tongues is to be done. And what are tongues? Other languages. That is the biblical definition of it. If you have somebody who has concocted some other idea of what they say that is, just say, look, here's what the scripture says, and I'm done. I don't need somebody to come along and explain it away or tell me this or tell me that. Oh, but you've got to experience it. No, I got to know it first.
Yes, sir.
I got to see it right here. Give me two witnesses. Show me where this is done in the scriptures. And so anyway, but watch this now. I want to show you something real fast, all right? And then I'm going to wrap this up fairly quickly. But I want you to look. In fact, you're looking there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, now watch this. I'm going to show you something real fast. Okay? The Bible says that these languages up here on the screen must be interpreted. Translated. They must be. So, watch this. In verse 33, God is not the author of confusion. Right?
Yes.
Okay? So let's go back. Look at verse 27. Now, before we read this, I'm going to show you this. How many languages was the original manuscripts written in? Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Who knows those languages in this room? Who knows those languages? Stand up and read. Since they are unknown to you, we have rules from our scripture where our doctrine comes from. So it says in verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most. How many? Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And let one do what? One. Don't get 4, 5, 6 translations out. Don't get the interlinear text. Don't get that stuff. It was already translated right. You say, well, you don't understand. Here's another one that I don't understand. You need to understand that I've been on both sides of this issue. I could have stood up and argued with you. Here's what they... Pastor, you don't understand that... That when they translated King James, they didn't just use the originals. They didn't just use the Greek Hebrew. You know what they did? They translated from the other translations. Turn to 2 Peter. I will tell you, in fact, on the front cover of the King James Bible, it says, newly translated out of the original tongues, with the former translations diligently compared and revised. Did you know that the Hebrew translators were only doing what the Holy Ghost told them to do? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private what? What does the word interpretation mean? Translation. You don't believe that. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Talita kumi, which is by interpretation, damsel arise. You see how it's used in the Bible? The translators, being led by the Spirit, knew that along with having the originals there in front of them, they were not leaning to their own understanding. King James was wise. He put Puritan scholars and Church of England scholars together. Because the Puritan scholars had the Geneva Bible. You know what's wrong with the Geneva Bible? They added to the Word of God to favor their doctrine. You know what they put in Ephesians chapter 6? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against earthly rulers. They added that. Because the Puritans didn't like the divine rights of kings. The Church of England didn't like the Puritans, and so they slanted the bishop's Bible toward their ideas of the divine rights of kings. King James said, I'm going to make you guys sit together in heavenly places and get along. And you're all going to peer review one another's work so that nobody has an influence upon the Word of God. And then when we're done with that, we're going to go back and look at what Tyndale wrote down. We're going to go look back at what Martin Luther said. We're going to go back to the original Latin Bible. We're going to diligently and compare what has already been translated of old to make sure that we're still on the same vine. And so the NIV comes out and it says, this is a fresh translation of the Word of God. That right there tells you it's not the Word of God. There's no witnesses of its translation. That and the fact that a queer was sitting on a panel. Turn to... I'm going to be done with this, all right? I know I've kept you and I know it's I'm hungry. Okay, let me find out where I'm going here. I have everything that I'm saying here. I've got on DVD back here. I did a thing called Which Bible You Be the Judge. I've got a deal back there called The Missing Bible. What happens in Christianity when you take the pure Word of God out? You get witchcraft. The Word Faith movement is witchcraft. It is. It's the pronunciation of words in the right way that'll make God do something for you. And that's witchcraft. My head's wrapped. Take your Bible. Turn to 1 Kings 21, and I'm gonna close with this. And I want you to know God made me love you. Coming down here, and I'm saying these things because I love you. You see, what happened was. We were in the Free Will Baptist denomination. That's where I grew up. I can't help that. That's just where my mom started going to church. And we were in that. And I got on this deal, since Bible ain't right, I might as well just be liberal. And that's what I was going to do. I had scheduled in my church a heavy metal rock band to play for our young people. And I've apologized to our church over and over. I've asked God to forgive me. And God said, well, God forgave me like my mom always did. Yeah, I'll forgive you. Amen. Oh, you bet you're sorry. And that's how he did it. When I came back to where I knew I needed to be, and I started believing the Bible was the Word of God, I started going back to all these preachers that I looked up to. You know what I found out? They didn't believe it, and they never did. So you know what? I didn't have any fellowship. In our area, I have none. I found some guys down in Arkansas. We get along pretty good. That they love the book, and boy, I love them and do their conference every year. But as far as denomination, we're out. Because I'm telling you, Jezebel has moved in to every denomination, every movement, including the fundamental independent Baptists. And if you think you guys are exempt, get your head out of the sand.
That's right.
And if you guys don't start preaching this book, the dragons will move in on you. And they already are.
Yes.
Tell me what happened to Bob Jones University. Tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. Dragons moved in. You know why? They took out what the dragons don't like.
Yes,
You know how animals work, don't you? Animals have a nature. Beasts have a nature. They move in places where they feel comfortable, but if there's something there, they won't get anywhere around it. Y'all know animal nature, don't you? The devil is a beast. He's a dragon. And he has a beast nature about him. He cannot. That's why the Bible said, resist the devil. What will he do? You know why? He cannot resist his own nature. See how easy it is to defend against him? Just stand.
Amen.
Don't move. You know what the New King James Version of the Bible is? When you take the word hell out 22 times and replace it with an unknown location, Sheol and Hades. Go down to the bar with some Bible tracts and we'll open the door and say, hey, who in here doesn't want to go to Sheol? There'll be one old boy in there says, Sheol, yeah, I was with her last night. They know what hell is.
Yes.
1 Kings chapter 21. And here's what I'm saying. I'd like to have some guys I can fellowship with. But I cannot fellowship with guys who don't believe the Bible's the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
I love you. Because and listen, if God had mercy on me, if you don't know where I came from. And I'm not telling you. If God can have mercy on me and pull me out of the pit that I was in, if He can have mercy on me, He can rescue anybody. And so I don't give up on people easily. But if you're sitting here in the minefield of doubt, I got a map that'll help show you how to get out of there.
Yes, sir.
In 1 Kings 21, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a what? I want you to think of the vineyard. Think of what Jesus said. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. A vineyard. Let's say a vineyard is your church, Pastor. This is your vineyard. Do you know that Jesus did not command us to bear fruit? He just told us to, or He didn't command us to produce fruit. He commanded us to bear fruit. Who produces the fruit? God brings the increase. It's not your job. And I really wrestled with this for a long time. Because, I mean, I grew up conservative, knocking doors and everything. And when I took over my church, part of what was in my mind was, I got to have people. I got to have more people in here. I got to produce. And God, over the years, lifted that burden off me and said, Mike, it's my church. And I'm the one, if you go read Mark 4, I'm the one that actually brings some 30, some 60, some 100. That's God's job.
Amen.
Your responsibility is to keep your people attached to the vine. Because he that abideth in me and my words, what did we say the words were? DNA. What is in a grape? What's in the middle of a grape? Seed. So you got somebody in your church that was bearing fruit and they had the DNA. And then all of a sudden, they just dropped and they had a family member that saw their life and saw the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifested in their life. And they said, I want that.
Amen.
And the seed went into that other sinner's life.
Yes, sir.
And God brings up more fruit. See, it's a guaranteed plan. Preachers, just sit back and let God work the plan. But you keep them in the Word. Naboth had a vineyard. That vineyard was given to him by his father in the inheritance. You know what salvation is? It is not a pay of service rendered.
That's right.
It is an inheritance. The death of the testator guarantees us the reception of the inheritance. For no other reason other than we are a son of God. So the vineyard was his inheritance. His forefathers had passed that down over and over. That original, can you imagine, when Naboth received the vineyard, he didn't have to go in and dig up all the vines and plant new ones, did he? How long ago do you think that vine, that first vine, had been planted? All the way back to Joshua, maybe even before that. All he did was just be a good husband, but he had this vineyard. By the way, you have all these pictures in here. New wine is in the cluster. You have the Spirit, you have grace, you have the inheritance, you have all that stuff there in that vineyard. This church is your vineyard. Your marriage and your family is your vineyard. Your children are your vineyard, guys. Okay? Now I want to give you a little typology, then we're going to go eat. God has helped me. I taught last night, if you see a man in the Bible, he's either going to be Christ or he's going to be Antichrist. If you see a woman in the Bible, she's either going to be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle, the pure woman, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. She's a church of some kind. She's either going to be a virtuous church, clean, or she's going to be a harlot, strange woman. Who is Jezebel? Notice how moms don't mind naming their little girl Sarah. But it ain't till they turn 15 they start calling them Jezebel. Amen. Jezebel is a harlot church. Yes, that's Roman Catholic Church. Yes, that is. But Mystery Babylon the Great is much larger than what's in the Vatican. She is everywhere. And I want to show you what her role is. If you'll study this out through the Bible, go look at Delilah. Glorious church or harlot church? Harlot. You know what she did? She shaved off the power of Samson. And when you've had this Bible taken away from you, brother, you've had your power taken away.
Yes, sir.
You cannot.
That's right.
Can't stand. You'll have feeble knees. It won't be able to stand. I asked God, God, what is her role? What does she do? Jezebel, Herodias, Delilah. All through the Scripture you see these women, these strange women. What is her role? And I'm going to show you what this is. Her role is to get the vineyard, the inheritance, transferred over from God's authority to the devil's. Remember when the devil said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation? You know any churches in this town where you're pretty sure the devil's sitting running the show? Watch what Jezebel does. Came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give that, watch this now, watch this. I will give thee for it a what? So, you know how you guys can tell when you've got an Ahab behind your pulpit? What'd you say?
A better translation.
A better translation is, they have just offered you a better vineyard than what you have. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Two things that I was after in my wilderness days. I was after the notoriety amongst my peers. I was young. And money. If you get more people in your church, what are you going to get, preacher? You're going to get a raise. You're going to be like them guys you met at the meeting whose church bought them a car. You're going to be like those guys up there. I'll give thee the... So you tell me what has made preachers at one time King James fundamental preachers sell their vineyard? Money.
Yes, sir.
So, Liberty University? So on September 12th, Jerry Falwell comes out saying, this is obviously God's judgment against all the queers and sodomites and abortion people in this country. 5 days later, well, you know, I kind of spoke in haste and you know what? You know why? They told him, we're going to pull the money out of your university. And that's what I was going for. Now here's what happened. You read this. Nabal said, "The Lord forbid me that I should give the..." See the word inheritance? This Bible has been handed down to you.
Yes, sir.
It was given to you. Men have died over this Bible, over the vine that this Bible comes from. Not just the King James of 1611. It goes back to all the way, the pure body of manuscripts going all the way back. Y'all know all that stuff, don't you? Okay. I mean, I was going to come down and give you all manuscript. That's not really me. That's not really my ministry. Okay? There's a pure vine, which is the pure word of God. There's a corrupt vine called the vine of Sodom. Go read that in Deuteronomy. You know what its grapes are full of? Gall and poison. Serpents, poison. So, how do you know King James is right? How do you know it's the King James? Well, here's one thing I look for. Number one, when I see who was that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my Bible says the Son of God. The other Bibles say a son of the gods. Ask yourself, who is it that fell from heaven in Isaiah 14? Was it Lucifer? By the way, let me help you with something. Lucifer is the perfect translation of the Hebrew word Halel. Halel does not mean bright star. It does not mean that. All it means is bright or shining. That's all it means. Lucifer is a Latin word that means light bearer. Paul wrote that even Satan himself is transformed into a what? You know what an angel is? A bearer, a messenger. Two witnesses. This Bible's right. But if your Bible says that the morning star fell from heaven, you've got dragon's poison under the nice shiny surface of the grape that is full of dragon's poison. And preacher, and here's, they get to the end of it. Jezebel said, "I'll get it for you." So you know what she did? She wrote her own Bible. She went and wrote letters and got two lying witnesses. You have two truthful witnesses in your Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. She went and got two lying witnesses. Lying witnesses, and that they said that that's a son of the gods in there. That's the morning star that fell. Prayer and fasting, we took that out. We took out, "If thou believest, thou mayest." I believe Jesus is the Son of God. They took that out. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and these three are one." They took that out. "Get thee behind me, Satan." They took that out. Those are lying witnesses. Jezebel brought in lying witnesses to have Naboth killed so that the vineyard then could be taken away from him and given to Ahab, who's a picture of the devil. And I'm going to encourage you, pastors, I'm going to plead with you. Church people, I'm going to plead with you. Don't sell your vineyard.
Amen.
Don't give it up. Don't walk away from it. Please don't. I did. I've been down that road. And I'm going to stand here at the entrance to that road. And as you walk by me, I'm going to plead with you. And then I'm going to get pretty rough with you. Because I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from going down there. Because I went down there and I saw what was down there and God yanked me back. I'm begging you guys. Don't go down that road. If you don't have it settled in your mind that this Bible, as it is written right this second, it does not need your interpretation. It does not need your retranslation. It does not need a better translation. It does not need your philosophies. It stands on its own. It doesn't need you. You, however, need it. If your doctrine can only come about as a result of you. Well, it doesn't really say it here, but I found something like in the Hebrew that kind of says, if your doctrine stands on something that had to be retranslated in order to say it, you've got the wrong doctrine. There went your amens. If you can't give me 20 verses of what you believe, don't waste my time. Because I'm not going to listen. If you can sit down and show me, Mike, and here's what the Bible says. The Bible says right here in 1 Samuel. The Bible says right here in Psalms. Right here in Isaiah said that. Yes. Matthew says this. Paul said this. Peter said this. John said this. Over here in Genesis, you'll see it. You'll see it written in the law, Mike. You know what? I may not understand that, but I believe that. I don't understand the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, how three can be one. I don't understand that. I believe it. Because this is what my Bible says. So preachers, examine yourself, see whether you be in what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. All these little ideas, all these doctrines that you were told to follow all your life, if they're not here, and if you can't find them in about 20, 30 verses in the Bible, if you can't see it all through the Scriptures, ask God what's right. I did. By the way, y'all know who Free Will Baptists are, don't you? You know what my Bible says? I believe in everlasting redemption. You know why? That's what my King James Bible tells me to believe. That's what I believe. I can do it. So can you. I love you. But God didn't send me down here to stroke your ego. To be part of your club, I wouldn't fit in. But I want you to know I love you. And I want you to be free. And He'll make you free.